Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Man, loopholes mean so much to us. They mean so damn much to us that whenever we go somewhere and we do something cool, we want to take you there. We don't want to get on the air the next day and talk about how cool an event was and how awesome it was and how badass of a time
we had. Look what we did.
With no payoff. It's like when a host gets on and they say, well, I know more than I can say. What in the F are you doing for the listener? You're doing absolutely nothing for the listener. As a matter of fact, you might as well pull your pants down and urinate all over them, because that's how disrespectful that is to the listeners. I might be being a little bit dramatic, but it's a dramatic time in these here parts. John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you, Sports Radio 610. We were at the Houston Sports Awards yesterday, and we were working. We were absolutely working. Now, we were indulging in the open bar as well, but we were working, and we got all kinds of information, entertainment for the loopholes today on a hump day. Stanford Brown's going to join us at 1 p.m. John Lopez, watching you work a red carpet, first of all, is absolutely fascinating, because you know everybody. If there is somewhere you're not supposed to go, you're going to see the OG lurking there, walking past security guards, doing whatever the F you want is what you do. But the one thing you did yesterday, and I think it is the most symbolic thing as to what Texans fans and what loopholes, shout out to the loopholes, crave, took place as Cal McNair, who was there to honor his late father. By the way, Jerry Jones, hell of a speech for Bob McNair.
Mm-hmm.
But as you approach Cal McNair, you told him what?
Well, first of all, yeah, you got to act like you own the place, right? When you're working a red car. And I do know a lot of people in town. That's just what being around forever can do for you. But Cal came in onto the red carpet, one of the last people to do it. And I want to make this clear. We're not like boys, you know, but I've known Cal for pretty much the duration of time that he's been in Houston with his dad. Chatted with him here and there. I've seen him at the Kentucky Derby whenever I was covering it, and Bob had those horses. So I just, you know, you walk up to the dude, man. Don't ask, don't get, right? And he was really cool. I know Cal has been maybe not as polarizing as B.O.B., but maybe perplexing. You know, people want to know, they want to hear what he has to say, want to know what he thinks on this organization, et cetera. And so I just walked up to him. We chatted a little bit about some radio stuff that we do. And he kidded me around. I kidded around with me, and I kidded around with him. And then as he's about to go in, I just said, Cal, we'd love for you to come on our station. A lot of people want to hear from you. And he said, I will. And so I know a lot of people more important than me are working on it. But I really feel, and I wanted to do it for our listeners, for the Sports Radio 610 listeners, for the loopholes, all of you who listen on our station are loopholes, to at least kind of get that out there with him. And I'm here to tell you, I think we'll get him. I think there are people who are working on it more than me, and good for them. But at the same time, I think he will come on. I think we will talk to Cal McNair at some point. And when we'll be able to get...
As a station, somebody.
As a station,
somebody.
Yeah.
You know how that works.
Yeah, and we'll be able to get his whatever his thoughts are on State of the Texans, on Bill O'Brien, et cetera, et cetera. I just feel like, it's going to be great for him. And it's going to be enlightening for the fans. It's going to be great for him. And I'm glad that I could at least kind of kind of do my part to get that at least started.
I'll say this. I think Kyle McNair is liked in this town. I mean, I think Kyle McNair is very liked. I think he's very new to the job. I think this is new to him, obviously. I don't need to think that. It's very obvious. But I think that he is I think he's gonna become a pretty good football owner as time goes on. And I think that was cool to see. And he seemed to have a little bit of a sense of humor. I look forward to
Oh, yeah, he'll give me a hard time about our show and some of the things we
well,
do.
Well, he misquoted us a little bit.
A little bit.
FOS, he was talking about flat organizational structure, and that the FOS is the morning thing.
That's the morning show. That's he confused us with the morning show, but that's cool. That's fine.
That's all good. Yeah. All white hosts sound and look alike. Hit me with the RC, Figgy.
Well, speaking of which.
Y'all do.
Speaking of the RC.
Speaking of which, Figgy. I tweeted this morning. For those who don't follow me on Twitter, shame on you. But I feel like it was the mother of all race cards. Like, there's a long way to go to beat the race card that my man to the left was promoting and propagating for more than 2 hours. So we're sitting. Let me lay it out for you. Figgy, tell me if any of this is wrong. We're standing on the red carpet. You know, it was early in the process, so there was not very many people there yet. And Landry goes, he points outside the red carpet,
on the street,
outside the viewing area, to the street, and there's a dude in a black dude in a khaki hat and a Texans shirt, and he goes, "Hey, that's Jacob Martin." And I'm like, what are you talking about? That's Jacob Martin. He goes, dude, that's Jacob Martin. And he's like, you know, looking and talking about it. And I'm like, that's not Jacob Martin. I think that guy's homeless. I mean, the guy, true or false, tell me if I'm wrong. He might have been a homeless dude.
No, he definitely wasn't homeless.
He wasn't a homeless dude?
It seemed like he was just hanging around, but he definitely wasn't homeless.
Okay, but he was how should we say it?
He was like a fan.
A little raggedy.
He looked like a fan.
A little raggedy.
Yeah.
Right? The hat was all kind of pulled over and everything. And he went on, and I told him multiple times, that is not Jacob Martin. Dude, look at he's looking at pictures online. It's Jacob Martin.
He looked up the Texans roster.
Hey. He goes, that's Jacob Martin.
They got the same lips.
I was wrong. I was wrong.
Yeah, he said that.
I was wrong. Okay, but you know what? As Jacob Martin came on the red carpet,
and then Jacob Martin showed up and 2 hours later, and he goes, oh.
Well. I'll tell you what, though. Those rock boys are pretty silly group,
yeah,
to say the very least.
They're a little on the nerdy side.
It's a little bit of a nerdy group. He was wearing golden retriever socks with goggles on them. They were doing their dance when the camera wasn't even on, the guitar stuff and all that. And I actually got to catch up with two of the rock boys on the red carpet, Brennan Scarlett's and my new favorite Houston Texan.
No, really?
Barkevious Mingo. I might be okay with the Clowney trade after I talk to Mingo. All right. I'm taking it a little bit too far. But this is what it sounded like with Brennan Scarlett. Brennan Scarlett was stunting on the red carpet yesterday. Here is 1/4 of the Rock Boys at yesterday's Houston Sports Awards.
Brennan Scarlett, how you doing, man?
I'm wonderful. How you doing?
You're looking fresh.
I appreciate that.
I noticed you're not wearing socks. What's the art to not wearing socks?
Sometimes, I mean, it's a little chilly out here, but you got to sacrifice for the fit, you know, and I black socks, white socks, I mean, it's tough.
What about the shades? What's the key to when you can and can't wear shades inside? Because I can't pull it off. I think you would be able to.
Inside is always a little risky, but I mean, if that's what marks the fit, if that's what makes the fit, you got to wear the glasses inside. Me personally, I probably will not tonight.
JJ is hosting Saturday Night Live. There's no middle ground when it comes to an athlete hosting Saturday Night Live. You can be Peyton Manning or you can completely flop. Do you think he's going to be more Peyton Manning or you think JJ might have some awkward moments?
I think JJ has high quality content on Saturday Night Live. The way that guy prepares, I can expect nothing less.
What's the first vacation you're going to take now that the season's over?
So I was actually in LA to watch my brother play in the NFLPA game. So that was a little makeshift vacation, but also going to Japan.
Okay,
later in February,
Japan.
So yeah.
All right, final one for you. Is it okay to put ranch on steak?
Yes.
No, that's not okay.
You're breaking my heart. Any steak. It makes it better. It's like French fries.
Yeah.
You never say don't put ketchup on good french fries. You're breaking my heart here.
So you're going to Steak 48, getting that bone-in ribeye, and asking for ranch.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Brandon Scarlett, everybody.
That's ridiculous.
All right, appreciate you, man.
Damn, that's pretty ridiculous, according to Brennan Scarlett.
Now, you did variations of that question pretty much all night.
Yeah, we'll get the results at 12:40.
He 0-1. Yeah, 0-1.
He's 0-1.
0-1 so far.
We'll see how many people co-sign the ranch on stage.
Well, let's start with Brennan Scarlett's teammate and fellow rock boy, Barkevious Mingo. So Brennan Scarlett was doing his B-Scar TV, and he left Barkevious Mingo just sitting there for 15 minutes. John Lopez said something that kind of made Barkevious Mingo laugh.
We don't want to talk about that.
You said someone had a resting B face, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and he laughed.
And he looked over there, and he laughed because
he knew
I was right.
He knew you were right. So I decided, okay, well, Barkevious is just chilling. He's not doing anything. So why not run up on Barkevious Mingo and see how he's living?
I see your teammates sitting here making you wait for an interview. You've been waiting damn near 10 minutes. I'm not trying to, like, start some beef with you and Brennan Scarlett, but you've been waiting here, like, 10 minutes.
I mean, he's in it with the mayor right now. He's getting his interview. So, you know, I'm going to sit back and let him do his gig and wait for him to finish up, you know?
How about those LSU Tigers?
Oh, man. Oh, man. It was much needed, man. That state desperately needs it. You know, we're celebrating like crazy. I was here. Couldn't make the game, but still, you know, it's very special when you get one down there like that.
What do you do during the offseason? What's the first thing you do? As soon as the offseason's done, you got that next week. What's on your agenda immediately?
Lay up on a couch. You know, you find a couch, nice, comfortable couch.
Video games, anything like that? I know a lot of your teammates play video games.
Video games, Netflix, you know, Disney now, Disney Plus.
Did you watch the Hernandez doc?
I haven't seen that yet, but everybody's been sending me Snapchats. You know, I made a cameo in there, so they told me Netflix need to pay me. So hopefully if you can get this out, Netflix will send me a check.
I'll figure it out. You definitely need to watch it. It's only 3 episodes. It's an hour, so you'll enjoy it. It's very, very interesting. I'm going to get you out of here on this. Is it okay to put ranch dressing on steak?
No. Yeah. Who does that?
Me. They give me a hard time about it, man.
Why?
It adds to it, man. Why do you put ketchup on french fries?
Because it goes with french fries. I've never heard anybody putting ranch on a steak.
Just give it
steak sauce on a steak.
Just give it a try.
If it's cooked right, you don't need it.
You're in a different tax bracket than me, though. You're going to these fancy-ass steakhouses. I'm going to other stuff, man.
I mean, but a steak's a steak, you know. You get a good piece of meat, you can't mess it up. And you can't put ranch on it.
But you can make it better.
That's for rabbit food.
But you can make it better.
That doesn't make it better, though. It makes it worse.
Appreciate you, man. Hopefully Brennan gets to you sooner or later. My gosh.
I'm going to say, you're probably one of those kids that put, like, ketchup and mayo and...
Oh, yeah. Just mix it all up, make it orange. Call it orange sauce.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, man. Appreciate you, man.
God almighty.
Barkevious Mingo, my dog right
Not
there.
Only did he disagree with your ranch on steak, he ethered you.
I tried to tell him bye, and he kept going.
He just... E30. So we're 0-2?
0-2.
0-2.
0-2. The Rock Boys are not down with the ranch on the steak. What do you think of the Rock Boys gimmick, by the way, before we get out of here?
I like it on the field. It was...
They got a Twitter. I found their Twitter.
Really?
Yes.
A little bit weird.
It was a little bit much on the red carpet, but that... Jacob Martin would actually tell you he is a little bit nerdy. What was his sock? What were his socks? You
Golden Retriever socks.
With yellow goggles. Golden Retriever with goggles. Socks with goggles.
With goggles. The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig working the red carpet. You'll hear all types of stuff from the HSAs. We want to bring it to you here on Sports Radio 610. Got to ask Oliver Luck the question that everybody wants to know. Is Andrew Luck going to come back to the NFL, and is OJ Simpson going to be a commentator for the XFL? You'll hear that at 10:40. Along with a phenom who I think might end up being the most famous guy that was on hand yesterday. We'll hear from him. But coming up next, two biggest takeaways yesterday that are extremely symbolic as to what's currently going on in Houston. One involves your Houston Astros, and one involves the head coach of your Houston Texans. You won't believe these things. We'll give them to you next. Man, I said it, you know, when this Astro stuff was going on, I said it, you know, to you, OG, and to all the listeners. We won't really know what it's like to watch the Astros post-cheating scandal until we go to the ballpark and actually watch the Astros play baseball or watch them on TV in 2020. We know what the narrative is going to be nationally. We know locally it seems like people are going to gravitate and rally around the Astros a little bit more because that's just how H-Town rolls. But yesterday, we're sitting there at the Houston Sports Awards, which is basically a celebration of Houston sports each year. And we're watching these Astros highlights, and you look over to me and you say something, and I think you pretty much summarized how I was feeling. I was feeling the exact same way. Yeah. Tell the loopholes what you said as we were watching the highlights of the Houston Astros from the 2019 season.
Well, it was when Altuve was up and won, ultimately, the moment of the year. And you don't know how you feel until you feel, right? You know, you don't know how you're going to react until you're in a situation where you react. You can't predict it. So they showed that highlight that we just played, all the running around, jumping around, fans going crazy on the way to the World Series. And I just leaned over to you and I said, that just doesn't feel right. It just feels weird watching those highlights now. And I couldn't have predicted that feeling. I couldn't have said that was going to be the case. It just felt weird watching those highlights, and we all know why. Imagine what it looks, it's going to look like nationally whenever those highlights are played, because we were all in with the Astros, you know.
I'm still all in with them. Well, of course. I mean, I'm accepting the reality of the situation that they cheated. I mean, now you can say everybody else is doing it, and you can talk about, you know, minimize it and say that they played good on the road and stuff. That's true. But the reality is they cheated, and they got punished for it, and they're looking for a new manager and GM because of it. So you can either be someone that's just going to blindly be loyal, and right. I'm not telling you how to feel, and it doesn't mean anything different to you. I still look back at it and remember where I was when Altuve walked it off and when they won the World Series. But mm-hmm. reality is, to me,
yeah,
to you, it does feel different watching the highlights now before we knew everything that we know.
And, oh, by the way, chatting in the lobby and such with other people from this building and other people, just, you know, fans, that we weren't unique in that feeling. I mean, people were kind of like, was that one of the plays where he might have known something? I know it's 2019, not 2017, but there is already that, you know, that feeling, and who knows, you know, to what extent it went. I mean, talking with different ages, men, women, whatever, a lot of the variations of the same theme, like, ooh, you know, that just felt weird watching that, you know, and it's only going to continue.
It is only going to continue. And again, I think it's going to play out. I think that the Astros, I think the fans are going to rally around the Astros. I think they're going to get the support of the fans. I'm more intrigued by the Astros moving forward than I was before. So I think that that's going to happen. But as far as watching stuff from the past, the OG and myself felt a little bit different yesterday. John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you on a Wednesday, which means it is a well-spoken Wednesday. Stanford Rout will be in the building at 1 o'clock to talk about everything going on with the Texans. Something else that happened yesterday, and I got to tell you, I've been to all three versions of the Houston Sports Awards, and this has never happened in the entire time. As a matter of fact, I don't know how many award shows I've watched in my entire life where this has happened. But when they were announcing the Coach of the Year candidates, they were talking about who's going to be Coach of the Year in Houston. Kelvin Sampson ended up winning the award, so shout out to Kelvin Sampson, very well deserved. But as they were announcing the candidates, they announced A.J. Hinch. Mm-hmm. He got an overwhelming amount of cheers. Overwhelming amount of cheers. Like, you almost would have thought that, I mean, you would have thought that the president was walking into the, or like the George mm-hmm. Bush or something. Keep back in the mind, day, the ovations he used to get.
Former Astros manager.
I mean, it was like what George Bush Sr. and Barbara Bush used to get at NRG.
Yeah.
And then you had Kelvin Sampson. He got some cheers. And then they announced Bill O'Brien. And I'm not saying that it sounded like it was like a massive amount, but there were scattered boos of Bill O'Brien when his name was announced at an award show where people are paying about $10 to $25K for tables,
yeah,
where Cal McNair is in attendance. There were scattered boos when Bill O'Brien's name was announced.
Never seen such a thing.
And it wasn't just, I mean.
I looked at you and then I looked at Sean.
I was talking to some people who were there on behalf of their companies asking if they heard it too. And they noticed it as well. At a Houston Sports Awards show, when Bill O'Brien's name was announced, there were some scattered
boos. This was, keep in mind the setting here. This was the Hilton Americas. By the way, Patty Smith, my goodness. So she puts on, and I know there's a lot of staff, so they all get credit. But what a fantastic event. It was at the Hilton Americas. This is the, not only are you preaching to the choir here, because these are all sports fans, Houston sports fans. Not only are you preaching to the choir, you're preaching to the rich choir. You're preaching to the people who have suites and PSLs for 18 years and
million-dollar accounts
and drive really nice cars and trucks and are so into sports in Houston that they were a part or got invited to a $15,000 to $25,000 table. So these are the highest, deepest, most loyal sports fans in Houston at this event. And I'm not saying it was like audible across the room, like overwhelmingly audible across the room, I should say. But you could hear it. It was audible. I mean, there were scattered boos in that setting. That just blew me away.
And I was talking to someone, as the they went to commercial, and I was getting a drink, and I was talking to him. I was like, hey man, did you like what's up with that? I was like, we're sitting here at an award show. Bunch of sponsors and stuff, and Bill O'Brien's getting scattered boos. Mm-hmm. He just looks at me and he goes, oh, they know. That's all he told me is they know.
Well, and here's the thing. They were in the room. Bill O'Brien was in the room. I talked about, we chatted with Cal, talked about some of the other things going on. The other a lot of players were there. A lot of management was there. I mean, management across the board was there from the Houston Texans. They could not know. That happened in one of the most receptive environments in the city for Houston sports. It's just crazy.
713-572-4610 to get in. You've already heard from Barkevious Mingo, who one of the loopholes 2178 on the text line says is his new favorite player, which is crazy, but he's mine too. 3265 on the text line says his 7-year-old son made him take down the Astros flag in the front yard. Because he was so
really
put off from it. That's what he says. And then of course you have the 4946 who says, let's just move on from this Astros stuff. Play ball. Damn. Well, that's gonna happen. I mean, but right now they're not playing ball, so that's why that's why it's still here. It's gonna be interesting to see. I think it's gonna increase nationally as they go on, but I think locally we'll be able to focus on the Astros a little bit more and we'll gravitate towards them. So you're going to get your wish there in regards to that. But it was just absolutely crazy watching the highlights. And then it was crazy, just seeing that in this scene, Bill O'Brien had some scattered boos. Like, it's not like they were throwing like batteries or anything, but just the fact that there was any amount of booing there just tells you a little bit about the current state of.
I'll put it this way: an award show, which everybody's giddy about. So an award show in Houston with some high end people. I mean, that should never happen. Like that should never ever happen.
And quite honestly, I'm surprised it did.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm actually very, very surprised it did.
I mean, bounce that off of the Astros. I mean, even though we felt weird and a lot of people felt weird watching the highlights, they got raucous applause. AJ Hinch as much as anybody.
Exactly. 713-572-4610. It is a hump day / well-spoken Wednesday. Stanford Brout going to join us. Oliver Luck! Did he crush my dreams? I've been saying that O.J. Simpson should be an analyst for the XFL. We talked to Andrew Luck's dad and the commissioner. Also asked him if Andrew Luck was going to come back and play some football. He answered that question straight up. We also talked to a track phenom who, by the way, is white. And I asked him, if he's ever been told if he's faster than he looks. Also talked to Carl Lewis. More from the HSAs continues as we take you there with us next. All right, at 12:40, I want to get into something that just hit me yesterday. The number one complaint that women have toward their spouse, to me, is the most irrational complaint in the world.
Uh-oh.
And I want to get in-depth on this because I think it's one of the most ridiculous things to complain about. And quite honestly, shout out to all the ladies out there. I know we got a lot of lady loopholes. I don't want you to take this too serious because I know some of you don't have this complaint. You lose a lot of credibility when you have these types of complaints.
You think so?
You really do.
All right.
You really, 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 really do. We'll get into that at 12:40 here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. Yesterday at the Houston Sports Awards, we were working. We were putting in that work. We didn't want to just come here and tell you how great the award show was and all that type of stuff. We wanted to bring the award show to you, and we wanted to entertain you. We wanted to inform you, and we wanted to let you know what was going on. Biggest takeaways: Lopez's interaction with Cal McNair. Cal McNair says that he knows that people want to hear him, so we could hear him on these airwaves, you know, within the next month or so. Mm-hmm. Who knows? No timeline on it, but I think Cal McNair does know that the people want to know the direction of the Houston Texans. That's number one. Number two, it's different watching Astros highlights.
Yeah, it does.
And number three, Bill O'Brien had a little bit of booze, or he received a little bit of booze at what was basically just a laid-back thing going on at the HSAs. Yeah. Oliver Luck, the father of Andrew Luck and the commissioner of the XFL, was also on hand. And with the XFL coming, I think it's good timing, to say the very least, for the XFL to be starting.
Yeah, it is.
John Lopez interacted with Oliver Luck. He threw my question out there about O.J. Simpson potentially being an analyst for the XFL. Here's Lopez's interaction with Oliver Luck, and then you'll hear my interaction as well. Here's the OG working the red carpet yesterday.
This has been a bad couple of weeks for the city of Houston. I'm guessing the XFL hates that, but it's a good time to have an XFL team in Houston.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. The XFL commissioner doesn't like it when Houston has a bad week, right?
Right.
And it has been a bad week. I think, you know, a rising tide lifts all boats in terms of sport.
I totally
I would have loved to have seen the Texans and the Titans playing the AFC Championship game, but whatever.
Yeah.
So it is, I think, a kind of an interesting time for people to rally around something new. And we're sort of the new old team, because you got June Jones, you know, and my involvement obviously is an old Houstonian, and there's a bunch of, you know, connections that June has with this city. Of course, you know, coached way back when with the, you know, with the old Gamblers.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Right? He was
exactly.
A wide receivers coach for Jack Pardee when the Gamblers were in town. So I think it'll be a fun, up-tempo kind of a game that we have. And June is going to throw the ball, as you know, John, 70 yeah. times a game.
Yeah.
And I tell you, I've watched him practice. They're pretty good. He's
they
got
are?
A good squad. He's got a pretty good squad, yeah.
How does the XFL feel about videotaping the opponent?
Yeah, I mean, the Astros thing, I'm not a baseball guy. I just want to say when we were building Minute Maid Park, we didn't put that camera in center field. I want to clear my conscience.
It had nothing to do with Oliver Luck.
It had nothing to do with the Harris County Houston Sports Authority and the Drayton McLean regime.
Hey, my partner, Landry Locker, is standing behind me interviewing Paul Wall. He has said this multiple times, and at first I was like, they wouldn't do that. But let me ask you, because you would know. He said the NFL would never, because O.J. Simpson was a fantastic color commentator.
Yeah.
He said the NFL would never, ever invite him back. So the XFL might. I mean, I know you guys do a little bit. Where do you draw the line, so to speak? And O.J., time has passed, et cetera.
Well, that's a brand new one for me. I haven't even given some of that thought. I'm thinking about that in terms of current players.
Right.
You know, I'd have to give that some thought. I'd be hesitant to say.
Well, I know I put you on the spot, but I promised him that I would ask.
No, that's a very fair question. You know, the question is when is redemption no longer possible?
Right.
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 And I think in this country we tend to want to give people a second chance if they're sincere, you know, about the mistake right. that they may have made. Hard to say, you know. I don't know. OJ's a tough one.
Well, I mean, I think redemption would probably end when you kill two people, but I'm not really
probably
an expert on
so
that.
So I had your back. I asked the question.
You asked the question. You told me that the question was asked, and I had to go get a follow-up just like any good journalist mm-hmm. would do. Oliver Luck, as he's walking in to the Hilton of the Americas, I had to follow up on this. I want O.J. Simpson to be an analyst in the XFL. I think he would add some insight. I think he would add maybe move the needle a little bit, to say the very least. So I went up to Oliver Luck, I asked him about O.J., and I asked him about some other things.
My man J-Lo told me he killed the dream of O.J. being an analyst.
Well, that's kind of up to Fox and ESPN. That's their corporate policy, I think, not mine.
That's where you kind of sweep it over
that's
there.
Right. We push it away from us.
Do you feel that you're killing the XFL brand by making the Football League too legitimate?
You know, it's fascinating. There's not many letters that you can put in front of FL, right?
Yeah.
Football League. It's letters 26, and a couple are taken, like the CFL's taken, the NFL's taken. So as Vince was going through this is before I joined, you know, he believed and did some research. There was some brand equity in the old XFL.
All right, last one with Oliver Luck. The number one rumor we get on the text line, and I don't know what it is, we get all kinds of rumors, is Andrew Luck's going to play in the XFL. Your son's going to play in the XFL. Can you shoot that down real quick for us?
I don't think I've seen any indication my kid's going to play anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah, okay.
Except with his 6-month-old child.
There you go. Thank you very much, Mr. Luck.
You bet. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Lopez. You got to ignore him sometimes.
Who?
That's what you said at the end of that interview when I was talking to him, man.
What
I was trying to do some real journalistic stuff, and you tell Oliver Luck you got to ignore him sometimes.
Yes, I did.
That's pretty classless.
No. That's accurate.
Pretty damn classless.
No,
it
accurate.
Will be interesting to see the XFL. You know, I was asked yesterday about the XFL and, you know, where its place will be, you know, among mm-hmm. Houston sports. Obviously, of the big three teams, it's not gonna surpass that. But I do think that the desire for football, along with the fact that it can be a unique experience compared to the NFL, I do think that can add something else to Houston, because I think, I don't want to call it minor league, but let's be honest, it's kind of a minor league football. I think Houston could support that. I think it could be a good product and very entertaining.
I think Houston needs it. That's why we got into that interview with Oliver. You know, it's been a bad couple of weeks. Nice to have a little something else to look at. I also like the timing of this. Both the USFL and the original incarnation of the XFL was not right after the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? So I think it's going to be like literally right after the Super Bowl they're going to start. I think that's a big thing for the XFL.
713-572-4610 to get in. There are a lot of famous people there yesterday. Carl Lewis was there. Mary Lou Retton was there. Rudy T was there. There were all the current athletes in Houston were there. J.J. Watt. But there's a possibility that the biggest star 10 years from now, as we look at all the people in attendance, the biggest star that was there was an 18-year-old kid who looked like he had just hit puberty.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about Matthew Bowling, the track phenom. He is at Georgia. He's already started his indoor track season. He's already taken classes. He is one of the fastest people in the entire country. He is a white track sprinter. This ain't no like long distance type of stuff. He is a fast white track sprinter. And the reason I'm emphasizing white is because, let's be honest, usually white guys are not running as fast as this guy. He is definitely, it's the truth, Figgy. He's definitely faster than he looks.
For those who are not familiar, do yourself a favor after you listen to our show or whenever and look at his YouTube videos. This guy is going to be a superstar in track and field. In high school, he ran a 10 flat 100 meters, which is incredible. 9.98. 100 meters to be exact, 20 flat 200 meters, 26 and a half foot long jumper. And you hit it on the head. He looks like the kid up the block that wants to ask you to mow the front yard for you for a couple extra bucks. He looks like he's 15 years old. This dude is going to be amazing. Matthew Bowling.
He is going to be amazing.
And he actually won the award.
He did win the award. He deserved it. He mm-hmm. went up there. He thanked his girlfriend. He thanked he thanked everybody. It was mm-hmm. pretty, if I do say so myself, it was a pretty adorable mm-hmm. Speech by the young man. We caught up with him on the red carpet, and I wanted to ask him the question that everybody wants to know, honestly. I mean, you see this guy, you look at this guy in the corner, you don't envision this guy just going out there and smoking everybody on the track, but that's what he does. So the OG and myself caught up with the phenom.
How cool is this experience for you, man?
It's really cool just being able to walk on the red carpet with Houston athletes who I've watched since I was a kid.
When you started hitting YouTube and people started liking, you know, and realizing how fast you were, did you get a lot of non-believers saying it was fake or it was something? What was the experience like when it first hit?
I mean, I got a lot of like, oh, it just happened once. Like, let's see if he does it again type stuff. And then I did it again, and then people kind of stopped talking.
What are you most excited about for college, and what are you most nervous about for college? Because this is an exciting time.
Most excited about the indoor season. It's something I haven't done before, but like, it's going to get me better. And most nervous, class, because I'm in a lot of classes right now that are hard.
Has anyone ever told you you're faster than you look?
I've got that a lot, yeah.
All right, Matthew, appreciate it, man.
Thank you.
Deceptively fast.
Deceptively fast.
He is the most deceptively fast.
To say the very least.
Yeah.
Carl Lewis was not deceptively fast. He's one of the best athletes in the history of ever. He's the best athlete that you said you've ever covered, correct, John Lopez?
I've said that multiple times.
Carl Lewis was on the red carpet as well, caught up with his old friend John Lopez, and John Lopez asked him the questions everybody wants to know.
Hey, what's going on, young man?
That's Mary Lou, by the way, saying hello.
All right, you were there in 84. You were there in 84.
I was a little busy, but I was there.
Yeah, you were there, but what? I mean, obviously you were busy. That was a kind of, that was the coming out party because 80 happened.
Yeah, well, the thing about it is that, but if you think about it, we were not successful in gymnastics at the Olympic level
ever
until Mary Lou won.
Yeah.
And ever since then, it's just been a steady improvement, and now we're the most dominant program maybe ever.
Matthew Bowling is here.
Yeah.
The fastest kid last year, last year, straight Jesuit going to Georgia. Has Carl Lewis ever lost to a white guy?
I think I did.
Yeah.
In Europe, I think I lost. Yeah, I did. I lost to Alan Wells once.
What?
I know I did. Yeah, but I got paid more. So I was like, what the hell?
Okay. You can win.
Yeah, exactly. We both won. But hey. Yeah, I did. A couple of Europeans.
I say it all the time. Greatest athlete I've ever known, Carl Lewis.
Thank you, man. Good seeing you.
That's the man right there. And what's funny is he remembered exactly who the white dude was that he lost. One time, that dude, Alan Wells. Alan Wells was a 200-meter guy, I believe, if I remember that correctly.
Mary Lou Retton was there as well.
Yeah, she was at the start of that audio saying hello to Carl as everybody's walking in. She looks great. Her daughters were with a great introduction. It was really fun to see her get that award.
What's the difference in the Olympics now compared to then? Like, where the Olympics is so much more. I'm not saying that, you know, obviously you have the Michael Phelpses of the world and stuff that are still superstars. But back then, I mean, you're talking about people on Wheaties boxes and stuff like that. Like, what's the difference in the 80s with the Olympics as opposed to now?
I'll tell you why I like the Olympics, love the Olympics so much, and just love the fact that I could go to a lot of them over the years. Number one, it's the purity of some of the sports, not all, because there are professional athletes, you know, starting in the early 80s with Carl, to be honest. He kind of broke the seal. Professional athlete making a lot of money in the big sports, swimming, diving, track, you know, all that stuff, certainly basketball. But there are sports like fencing. There are sports like curling. There are sports that are kind of, you know, I always talk about cross-country skiing, that those people, those athletes doing it, they're not doing it trying to make any money. They're not doing it trying to, you know, become famous. They're doing it because they love their sport. There's just a purity in the Olympics. And that leads to number two in my point, and that is like, how many things are left in the world that your entire country can rally behind, you know? That your entire country can rally behind and make an unexpected moment something historic. You know, I wrote Kerry Strug's book in 96. That came out of nowhere. She came out of nowhere. She was the only one of those gymnasts that didn't have an agent. She was just doing it because she loved it. And lo and behold, she nails a vault that gave the Americans their first team gold medal ever in the Olympic Games. And there you go. You know, she becomes a hero. Just the purity of why these athletes are doing it, and the fact that the entire country can just rally behind one moment, one person. And that, there's not a lot of
anything
that
that's gone.
There's not a lot of it is gone because people aren't, the numbers of television viewers has gone down steadily the last two or three Olympics. I can't tell you why, other than maybe people think, it's not quite as inspiring as it used to be.
Well, I find myself rooting for non-Americans sometimes. And I mean, I just don't, it's not like I'm talking about a war or something like that. I just think, to me, when I watch the Olympics,
maybe
I just
that's
enjoy,
a factor.
I just enjoy the greatness of everybody from everywhere. So like, if Usain Bolt's running, I'm rooting for Usain. Like, I like Usain. I get that Gatlin is the American and stuff like that. And, you know, I'm proud to be an American. I wouldn't want to live anywhere else, but I don't take the Olympics that serious. Like, I think that they did in the 80s and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, and then you had the Miracle on Ice and whatnot. But, I mean, when Usain Bolt's out there kicking ass, I'm enjoying the hell out of it, to be honest with you.
No, of course. It's someone at the absolute apex of their talent, you know, getting it done. The Olympics are awesome, man.
Summer or winter?
I love
summer's
them.
Way better.
I love them both. There
summer's
are,
way better.
There are certain sports in winter that are better than summer. But if you had to stay all 17 days, summer.
Yeah.
But there
close,
are some
right?
sports in winter that I think are just better to watch than the Summer Olympics.
Like what?
I mean,
ice skating.
Until you see up close and personal, and this does not mean to be like, oh, look, I did it, you didn't.
Oh, gosh.
But until you see up close and personal a downhill skier, dude, the angle at which they're – well, I've actually seen some Olympic water polo, sir. But downhill skiers coming down that mountain at the speeds they're doing it, at the danger level – they're the craziest athletes in the world. Downhill skiers are nuts. You have to be. You can't have – everything right to do what they do. They all get injured. Going in, you know you're going to blow something up on your body. You're going 75 miles an hour at an incline that is like stupidly dangerous and doing it as fast as you can.
But I also think the other thing that's the most impressive about people like that, and I'm talking about all – shout out to all my extreme sports people. I'm talking about skateboarders. I'm talking about bike riders. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about – downhill skiers, all those types. I think the thing that makes those people more impressive, like when they're doing the half pipe and stuff like that, is once you screw up, it's a long process to try it again. Like in baseball, if you're taking batting practice, you swing and miss, the next pitch is coming right then. Football, let's say you're practicing field goals or something like that or passes. As soon as you screw up, you can get it right back, and you can 15 seconds later, you can be trying it again.
Yeah.
If you fall when you're downhill skiing, you got to get your ass back up that hill
if
and you
have
can
to
try
stand
again.
Up.
Exactly. And then the half pike, like these skateboarders, they fall down. They have to go all the way back up there and try again. Just the amount of time it takes to persevere and overcome your flaws, it's not the same as if you're trying to do anything else in normal sports.
Trust me, it's a whole different world. Half pipe is dangerous. Skateboarding is dangerous. All the slaloms and all that ain't nothing like downhill skiers. I mean, those people, men and women, are crazy.
The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you, talking about everything going on last night at the Houston Sports Awards. We'll have some more people joining the show. Paul Wall, my gosh, I didn't know he was this much of an Astros fan.
Y'all were
I knew
giddy.
He was a fan.
You were almost as giddy for Paul Wall, you and Figgy, as you were for Jerry Jones.
Paul Wall was doing his thing yesterday, and he has a lot to say about the Astros. We'll hear that at 11:20. And speaking of the Astros, there was one man who was on the red carpet longer than anybody. He was answering every single question. He's being completely transparent. And I'll tell you what, you might feel disappointed in what the Astros did, but you're in very, very good hands with Mr. Crane, the firmest man in town, Jim Crane, next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.